Welcome to our Through the Bible study here on Bible in Depth Network with Alex. In our study, we look at the context of Scripture and how it applies to our daily lives. We also believe that there's no limitation to the revelation of the Word God. Let's study together today.
Yes, praise be to God. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad. And thank you for joining us for our time of the study of the Word of God. And here we study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. We completed the Old Testament, and now we are looking at the New Testament. You can always find all the podcasts we've done on our podcast platforms like Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it, even through our website, BibleInDepth.com. You'll be able to know everything about this network. Now, we are handling the book of Matthew. And before we move on to chapter 16 of Matthew, I want us to conclude with the last part of chapter 15. And that is Jesus feeding 4,000. Yeah. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way." Whether this was a time of fasting that they went through, it's unclear. But from what Jesus is saying, these people have been with him for 3 days, and they have not had anything to eat. And what were they doing 3 days with Jesus? They were listening to the word. They were listening to the saving power. They were seeing people getting healed. They were getting healed themselves. And that is what happens when you are with Jesus. When you are with Jesus, when you take time to be with Jesus, things will be fine. When you take time to be with Jesus, you will see great things. You will spend days, forget about the rest, but in the presence of God, there is no worry about anything else. And it's until 3 days now that there is worry about their food. Because when you have Jesus with you, he covers everything. He covers all the worry. He covers all the pain. He covers all the fear. He takes you in as a child. And he has compassion, which is key for us here. That he has compassion for you. Jesus had compassion for these people. And he was concerned about their welfare. He was concerned about their well-being. Because he says, if they go away, they might faint on the way. And it's important to cater for the needs of people. Or that you care, that you minister to. It's important to cater for the affair of the person that you minister to. Jesus does that extremely well here because he says they will faint on the way. He looks into the future and knows that if they go moving, they are going to fall down, they've not eaten, and he has compassion for them because when you have Jesus, he does not let you go hungry. When you have Jesus, he does not let you go back with your problems. When you have Jesus, he is concerned about your troubles because he wants to sort them out before you head out. That's what he does here. What is the problem you have? Is it with your job? He wants to sort it out before you head out today to that workplace. And he will do it. You just have to trust him and have faith in him. That's what he does for these people here. And the disciples say to him, "Where would we get so many loaves? Indeed, this desolate place to satisfy such a crowd." It's amazing how these disciples have just witnessed a miracle of 5,000 fed. But still, they've got doubt about whether these 4,000 can also be fed. And that's one thing that we go through as well. God does big things for us. God does a miracle for you. God takes you out of a tight situation. And right now, you get into another tight situation and you forget that actually God has taken you out of something of such a sort before. So you've just got to trust him. And we pray that God gives us the grace to always remember that it is not just about that one experience. But all the time, he is able to come out and fight for you. He is able to come out and deliver you. He is able to pick you out of that pit and give you good results. That's what he does. And now the disciples are asking, from such a desolate place, where are we going to get so many loaves? Jesus says to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7 and a few small fish. Jesus asks a question, what do you have? Because he will use that thing that you have. He will use that you've got to do a miracle. He will use that which you've got to start a work in your life. Sometimes we wonder, what do I have? I'm not qualified. What do I have? Jesus asks, what do you have? However little, my 4,000 is little. It's like a drop in the ocean. And Jesus still asks, what do you have? What do you have? It's a small diploma that I have. That is what Jesus would use. What do you have? It's just a few items that I'm selling online. That's what Jesus will use to get you great, to help things move. What do you have? I just got a little hope in me. That's what Jesus wants, and that's what Jesus is going to use. And he will transform your life, and everything shall get better. And he shall multiply that which you have to abundance. So, he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Jesus, when he gets the people seated and he picks these loaves and fish, what he does is thanksgiving. And with thanksgiving, with the little that you have, it can be multiplied, because it is with thanksgiving that your heart is looked at as appreciative. That God looks down and says, this young man, this young woman has a heart of thanksgiving. And with that, we shall receive very many things. It shall be much multiplied to you if we can only learn to give thanks. Give thanks to God for the things he's done. Give thanks to God for the little that you've got. Give thanks to God for that which he has helped you achieve. And with that, you shall see multiplication. After Jesus gives thanks for this that they had, then that started to multiply. And they all ate, the Bible tells us. And they picked up what was left over of the broken 7 large basket full. And those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan. Jesus fed his people. Jesus fed his followers. Jesus did not look at them and say, you just go hungry. He cared for them. It's incumbent on us, the church today, to cater for those who are in need. It's incumbent for us, the church today, to look at people who have need and cater for it, and feed the poor, and dress those who have nothing to dress, and look to those who are poor in our congregation. It's possible for you to have a congregation and there's nobody, there's somebody out there who does not have lunch, who does not have supper, who does not have food to eat. It's incumbent upon us as a church to provide that basket where people have something to eat. No, it's hard today, because all that we collect it belongs to us, but we've got to take care. Jesus looked at his people and said, they will faint on the way. Do we have a heart that looks to people today and say they might faint on the way? Do we have a heart that looks to people and see these people in deep need and they need support? Jesus, being our father, a friend, he looks to them and says, they need my help and I will not let them go hungry. In whatever you have, in whatever you're experiencing today, you have a friend who is close and his name is Jesus. And he loves you and he has interest concerning your issues, and he will not let you faint on the way. He will not let you lose that job. He will not let you lose that business. He has got great interest in you, and do not be afraid. Chapter 16. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came up, and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. These were people, remember, who always wanted to have Jesus in a corner and accuse him. And in just the normal circumstances, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, of course, they had their issues and how they differed at one point. But when it came to the matter of Jesus, they are people who would agree because he was someone who was trying to change the normal. And the Pharisees were a large religious sect. And for them, they strictly followed the law and the traditions of the elders as they had been set for them. Now, when it comes to the Sadducees, these ones were the small political leaders or group or aristocracy, if I may call it that. And these ones rejected the traditions of the elders and they actively collaborated with the Romans, who were the superpower at that time and leading their region. Now, when they get a common thread that is Jesus, they have a way and find a way of working together. They finally get something that is going to join them, and they come to fight a common threat, who is Jesus at this time. Of course, the Pharisees did not trust Jesus and his teaching, and the Sadducees, for them, they feared that the Romans would come up with restrictions over them because of this popular support that Jesus was getting, and the fear that if Jesus takes this support, then he will be a figure or a leadership figure to fear, who will cause a problem to the aristocracy as the Sadducees. So they finally get something that will join them to fight Jesus. And that is the reason they are working together. In other things, they were not people who really worked together, also eye to eye. But in this case, when it comes to Jesus, they see eye to eye. So they come, both groups, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and they are testing Jesus. And they are asking him to show them a sign from heaven. They have witnessed him. They have seen him for a while. They have witnessed all the things that he has done. They've seen the miracles. And now they're asking to see a sign. Yeah? So it's amazing how much people will still want to test. Because we are clearly told that they are testing Jesus. They've got wrong intentions. It's not like they want to see a sign from heaven so that they use it for good. No. So he replies to them and says, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? Jesus is practically saying, if you can discern the weather, you should be able to discern the times. If you have the ability to look up and know that it might rain today or it's going to rain right now, you should have the ability to scan and discern the signs of the times. We are living in tough times. We are living in days that are climaxing. We are living in days where things are about to wind down. And if we fail to notice that, yet we can tell that the weather is going to change, then there's a problem. We're like these Sadducees and Pharisees. And he says to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. Jesus was not in the business of proving. He was not in the business of showing you that, okay, you take me for granted, let me show you a sign. He could have maybe made a stone walk. You had the ability to do that. But he didn't do that because he's not interested. You don't waste your anointing. You don't waste that which God has preciously given you, fighting battles with people. These are people who had come out for a war. These are people who had come out for a war to fight with Jesus. But he does not waste his time fighting people. He does not waste his time fighting battles with people. He just gives them the information they need and he walks away from them. And he says, for those who are already seeking for signs, that is an evil and adulterous generation. Sometimes we are walking and moving churches every time because we are seeking signs. We are seeking where the miracles are. We are seeking where the wonders are. We are seeking where things are moving. That's a sign of an evil and adulterous generation. You settle down and worship God and seek God. Yeah? And he tells them, you will not get a sign except that of Jonah. Of course, this in reference is to the fact that Jonah spends 3 days in the belly of a fish. And Jesus also will spend 3 days in the tomb before he rises. And that is one thing that Jesus is clearly telling them, that that is the sign you'll see. If you've been waiting for results, wait for that one. And you'll see it. It's just a matter of time. So he leaves them and walks away. He does not spend time arguing. You know, sometimes it's not good for you to just keep arguing with people about accepting Jesus. You speak the word, period, and let the Spirit work. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they began to discuss among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring any bread. You know, sometimes the disciples also would fail to catch the flow with Jesus. They would fail to understand what he's talking about. Sometimes they would not be in the same zone. Now, for them, they think he's talking about the physical bread because they did not carry it. And it's not exactly what he's talking about, as we shall read later on. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? He can't know what you're talking about. They might be in a circle and they think he's not hearing, but he can know he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Yeah? And he says, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? He's telling you, don't you remember that we fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves? And how many baskets full you picked up? And he brings another remembrance or reminder, if I may say. All the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many large baskets full you picked up. He's saying, you're busy discussing about the fact that you did not carry bread. Have you forgotten? We just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves. After that, we fed 4,000 with 7 loaves. Why are you discussing bread now? I've just healed you of that disease. And I healed you the following year of another disease. Why are you worried today that you will not be healed? I just gave you a client, a good client, at the start of the year. And I've given you another one in the middle of the year. Why are you worried that you won't get another one at the end of the year? I have just blessed you with this child. Why are you worried that you will not get another? And Jesus is just making it clear for all of us. It's a characteristic we all have, most times, that we forget what God has done. And we fear for the future. Yet he has provided exceedingly abundantly above. Jesus is telling the disciples, why are you afraid? Why are you even discussing bread? Yet you've witnessed the things we've done together. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? He's now wondering, guys, I've been with you, we've been walking together, but you still lack that discernment, you still lack that understanding that it's not just about the physical, but rather about the spiritual things as well. And it says, how is it you do not understand that I'm not speaking to you about bread when I'm talking about the leaven? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. After he says that, they understood that he did not say to beware of leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus was talking about beware of the leaven, beware of the teaching of Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of the things they are teaching you. Beware of the traditions they are teaching you. Beware of the information they are giving you, of the things they are telling you to follow, that these are the things that bring life, that these are the things that make meaning. He's telling them, beware, do not be lied to, because that is not it. Jesus warns us about the teachings. Jesus warns us about the things that people are teaching. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were religious leaders. And they were great leaders, by the way, of their time. And Jesus knows this type of people and the things they teach and their character. Yeah? These are people who would justify themselves. These Pharisees. Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God." They will esteem the Pharisees. They justify themselves. They make themselves bigger than anything. But then God knows their hearts, that they are not pure. There are people who teach justifying themselves, but in their hearts they are not pure. God says, beware of such people. These Pharisees, they would value their traditions more than God's word. For us, this is how we do things as Pharisees or as a religious institution, even if it breaks the command of God. Yeah? Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, verse 9, that you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. And there are churches even who have traditions that they follow. And things they follow as a church, that this is something we set as a church. This is how we do things. This is how we run affairs. This is how we walk. This is how we greet. This is how we talk. This is how we carry out our service. And that is a tradition that you have created for yourself, but it is against the word of God. And you need to ask yourself, is this tradition I'm following one that is godly, biblical or not? And he's warning them, his disciples, saying, beware of that teaching from them. These Pharisees had no concern for lost sinners. Yeah? And for them, it was all about the law. If it says that it's adultery, you have to be stoned. You're lost. They have no concern for you. They'll stone you to death. That is the teaching they would carry out, but Jesus brings one of compassion and is saying, beware of these who do not have concern for sinners. Jesus came with concern for the sinner. Jesus came with concern for the lost. The Pharisees didn't. And he says, beware of their teaching. They test God, asking him for signs. They've just done that for Jesus. And they will teach you to test God. Beware. And as I speak all this, I know you might even know in your time, in this time that we are, these teachers who might be like these Pharisees, who are giving you wrong doctrine. And Jesus says, beware of them, that you do not fall prey. Yeah? And Jesus brings out to his disciples that these are people you should not listen to. These are people you should not listen to, otherwise they will lead you astray. They are liars. They are murderers. Yeah? They are people who do things as per their way. They will show you something else, but rather, in their hearts, they are negative. Jesus clearly brings to us a message that not everybody that you see teaching is giving you the right bread. There are people who are out there and they're teaching, and they're like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus says, beware of their message. There's so much message out there today. It's on the television. It's online. It's on the internet. It's out there on the pulpit, and in the churches, and in the gatherings. And you've got to have the ability to discern. Pray to God that he gives you the ability, strong ability to discern and know what is right and what is not, who is speaking the truth and who is lying, what doctrine is from God and which doctrine is from man, and which doctrine is from the evil one. so that you do not fall prey to the lies. Just like he warns the disciples today, he warns you. Just like he warns them about teachers today, he warns you. I do not know what message you've received this week or even today from a teaching out there, maybe from your people that you follow, the leaders that you follow, the preachers that you follow. But if it does not speak the word of God, do not follow it. There is so much out there going on, but Jesus is interested in you. And listen to his word. Read the Bible. Study his word. He will speak to you. Jesus will speak to you. Trust him to speak to you. Sometimes we think that he only has to speak through the pastor that you might know. No, he speaks to everyone. If you choose to listen to him, he's giving us the Holy Spirit who is with us, and he will teach us all things. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for you are with us all the time, and you provide for us, and you care for us, and you have big interest in us. And we pray that you always guide us and lead us. In Jesus' my name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for our study today. We believe that the Word of God is alive and new each day. Open your heart and let God speak to you. You can also access our teachings through our Podbean channel or reach us through our website, BibleInDepth.com.